You are listening to Keith Carson, Information is Power, part two of the Community Forum on Healthcare Reform.
So many of you have seen stories on TV or on the internet, if that's your choice of getting health information, about healthcare reform. And there's a lot of misinformation. So now we are here to learn some of the key concepts that are being debated in our nation's capital. So I'd like to bring up Deanna Jang, Policy Director of the Asian Pacific Islander American Health Forum. Deanna came from Washington, D.C. to be with us today and works hard to make sure that the Asian Pacific Islander voices and needs are heard in our nation's capital. Now here's Deanna.
Good morning, class. As Supervisor Carson and Sherry indicated, the healthcare reform bills that Congress is considering are very complex. Some of the bills are 1,000 pages. I am an attorney, and I have difficulty understanding these bills. So I hope this morning to at least provide you with some of the key rationales or reasons for why we need healthcare reform and what some of the key elements of healthcare reform need to include. So first slide. So why is it that we need to change how we're currently getting healthcare now? Well, the obvious reason is that people are sick, and they're not getting the care that they need. A second reason is that healthcare in the United States is very expensive, and the cost of healthcare here in this country keeps increasing very rapidly in the next few years. And the third thing is the most important, which is what Sherry, again, and Supervisor Carson really emphasize, is that in our country where we have so many benefits and privileges, it's really important that everyone in this country get the health care they need when they need it. So what is health care reform all about? It's simple. The first thing that's about, and this is what you're mostly going to be hearing about, is the issue of coverage. How do people pay for the health care that they need? The second element is about cost. We talked about the rising cost of health care. That is a major issue for Congress in deciding how to control, to keep those costs of health care down so that we can all afford it. And the third very important issue that unfortunately we don't hear enough about is about quality. And you all experience this when you're trying to access health care. It's not just being able to pay for it, but being able to ensure that the health care that you are getting is good health care, that it speaks your language and addresses your needs. So let's start with the coverage issue, how we're going to pay for it. Right now in this country, we have close to 47 million people who do not have health insurance coverage. That's about 15% of the total population in this country. And generally, over 1 in 7 people in this country is uninsured. And when we look at our communities, it's even a higher percentage of our communities who do not have health coverage. So we know that 1 in 6 Asian Americans are uninsured, and 1 in 4 Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders are uninsured. That's a huge number of our communities that cannot afford to pay for their health care. So if you look at the types of people who don't have insurance, you can see that elderly people, because we have a really good Medicare program, a very small percentage of elderly people are uninsured. How many of you have Medicare? Just a few of you. Most of you are younger. Okay, a large number over there. You can also see that we're making progress in ensuring that children have health insurance. But the largest group of people who do not have insurance are working adults, people between the ages of 18 to 64. 20% of them do not have health coverage. The second reason that people are uninsured is because they are poor. You can see from this middle bars in this graph that 1 in 4 Americans who have incomes of less than $25,000 are uninsured. You can see, on the other hand, that people who are wealthier, who make at least $75,000 or more, only 8% of those persons are uninsured. So poverty has a lot to do with whether you can afford health insurance coverage. The last issue that's important for us is that whether you're a citizen or not. You can see by this chart that almost 45% of non-citizens are uninsured and are not able to pay for health care. The next chart just shows that there are major differences within Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islanders groups. There are high rates of uninsurance for specific groups, such as the Korean community. So you can see that 1 in 3 Koreans do not have access to health insurance. A large part of this is because of what Supervisor Carson was talking about with respect to small businesses. A lot of Korean Americans own or work in small businesses. They cannot afford to purchase health insurance either for themselves or for their families, because they don't have enough people that they employ to have a low enough premium that they can purchase that insurance. We also see that 1 in 3 Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders are uninsured. Let's move on from coverage to cost. From this next chart, you can see how much the cost of purchasing health insurance is a part of a family's income. So, for example, the average value of a price for a family policy for a family of three, it would cost that family over $12,000 a year to purchase a policy that would cover all three family members. So compare that to families who are 300% of the federal poverty level or below. So for a family that only makes $52,000 a year, to purchase family coverage, that would be 24% of their total family income. When you have to choose between health coverage and food for your family or rent, what would you choose? So what are some of the provisions of the healthcare reform proposal that is going to be helpful to address some of these problems? So first of all, what will healthcare reform mean for those of you who have coverage? Most of you in this room have health insurance coverage, I'm assuming. What the healthcare reform legislation would do is it would not allow insurance companies to stop your insurance when you're sick. Sometimes what happens to people is even though they have health insurance, if they get an illness that is recurring, such as cancer or diabetes, their insurance company may decide to stop covering them. With health insurance reform, this would not be allowed to happen. You should be able to keep your coverage, even if you get sick. The second part, which ensures more security and stability for people who have coverage, is that the reform would limit what you pay beyond what you pay for insurance. So right now, many of us have to pay extra when you do have a healthcare visit or when you're paying for your medicines or pharmaceuticals. We also might have what's called a deductible. You may have to pay a certain amount before your health insurance will help you pay for it. The health care reform proposal will limit that, so you don't have to pay over a certain amount, and the insurance company cannot charge you over that amount. The third thing to remember, and this is, again, addressing some of the misinformation that Sherry had mentioned, is your Medicare coverage is safe. So the seniors on this side of the room who are on Medicare, that will not change. So what happens with healthcare reform for those who are uninsured? The main thing that healthcare reform will do is to provide a central place where people can go to find health insurance plans that they can afford. Right now, there's no way you can get information about what different health plans offer, how much they charge, and what benefits they cover. What healthcare reform will do would be to create a one-stop shop, a one place where you can go and see the different private plans that are available so that you can, and also help you decide which one is best for you. So maybe you want to know if your provider that you currently see is part of that plan. You should be able to find out by going to this one place. The second way healthcare reform helps people who are uninsured is to provide tax credits to help people buy insurance. So it gives people some assistance in order for them to help them pay for the premiums to purchase health insurance. It also helps small businesses to purchase affordable health coverage by giving them tax credits as well. Okay, and we also are supporting a public health insurance product. So this would be a product that is a not-for-profit health insurance choice. So when you go to the health insurance one-stop shop, you can pick a private plan, but you can also pick a publicly funded plan that will be affordable for people who most need to find health coverage that's affordable for them. So I'm going to stop there, and people can ask questions in the question and answer period. But thank you for listening to my lesson on healthcare reform.
You can subscribe to this podcast, Keith Carson, Information is Power, on iTunes or Podomatic.com. Don't forget to visit our website at www.keithcarson.org or visit us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.